We're on lesson two, and the title of this lesson is The Big Picture of the Bible. Amen. And the plan of God from the beginning to the end. Again, the rules are that if you have a question during the study, raise your hand, and when I acknowledge you, then Russ will hand you the handheld mic, and it will all get on tape. We'll be sending these tapes out to our friends across the country and that desire them. Because, you know, we're not just teaching, we're teaching basic right now. We're starting at the beginning, and we're really teaching the basic things. But I'll tell you what, when I review the basics, I need that every once in a while myself. And I think that with us, we're going to have, by the time that we get into these studies more and more, we're going to start to appreciate more and more the Bible. And because those of us that have been reading the Bible all our lives, sometimes we don't take the time to reacquaint ourselves with the scriptures and with how they lay out the plan of God from the beginning to the end. So that's what we're endeavoring to do in these studies, is that we want to cover the beginning to the end. So this is going to be a lot of Sundays in covering this. But before we get into all of the learning of the scriptures, we have been studying about the fact, very few scriptures again, but I'm wanting you to see the picture of it. Everything came out of God. God was the original creator of everything. Everything that we see and everything we don't see all had the same origin, and that's God, the God that we serve. Praise the Lord. The God, the only God. So everything came out of him. Now, I want to jump ahead now, and I want us to go to the end of everything. So if we can see the beginning of everything coming out of God, and we see the end of everything back into God, then we can go back in the other studies that we're going to be doing, and we can start putting in all of the ages and all of the dispensations of God between those two points. And the main thing is that we see the big picture. We see that everything came out of the God, and everything goes back into the God from which it originated. Praise the Lord. Now that's something, if you know that much, you know more than most church people. Most church people don't see the big picture there. They see that he created everything, but most churches minister that somewhere along the line, from the beginning to the end, God fails. And he loses things. And he doesn't want to, but you know, that's just the way it goes. And so those things don't end up in the end. They end up somewhere else outside of God. And that's the reason why in this assembly we want to establish us in the fact that this is not a debatable thing. Everything starts in God. Everything, things seen and unseen, end in God, according to the scriptures. Amen? Praise God. So the rest of it, there's going to be differing opinions. You're going to get a lot of even people that see everything came out of God and everything ended up in God. Everything between that point, people are going to come up with their own opinions sometimes about how that's going to happen. And maybe where we're at right now between those two points. And I'll tell you what I believe as we go along. As I told you, I'm probably going to be telling you things that I believe that I wouldn't say out on the road ministering to a people I don't see every Sunday. You're going to know more about what I believe probably than anybody. And that doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything I believe. But you should know I've spent 34 years coming to that conclusion. So that should have a little bit of weight behind it. And I will try to prove everything I say to you in the scriptures. But anyway, as a family of God, we want to grow in the Lord. So let's pray to the Lord. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for your wonderful plan that has been with us from the beginning, and not just us, Lord, but all the ages before us and all of that that is yet to come, O Lord. We thank you, Father, that you are the architect, the great God that watches over it all, that, Lord, your hand is upon us even now, that you reserved us back into you for such a time as this. This is our time, Lord, to shine, to let our light shine before men, Lord, to pierce the darkness with the light of God. As we learn more about the scriptures, Lord, that you have given to us by the Holy Ghost moving upon men of old, we ask you, Father, that you, Lord, would be the central focus of it, that we wouldn't get lost in doctrine, Lord, but that we would continue to live out the living word in our lives. That these scriptures would no longer be just words on a piece of paper, but that they would be able to be walked out in our life every day, Lord, as we learn of you. I ask you, Father, to anoint me to speak forth the word as you give it to me. I ask you to anoint everyone here to receive that word with the ears of the Spirit, and that we would be built up together, a house of the Lord, in the tops of the mountains of which the nations shall flow into. We thank you, Lord, for this great plan of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, let's go to our key scripture. Turn to Colossians. That's in the New Testament. Now, I'm saying all of this. Some of you, our church has people in it that have never read the Bible. And that's one of the reasons for us taking this time to go through the scriptures, start at the beginning, and to start teaching the scriptures. But our great advantage is that we're not going to get bogged down like denominations do and other things do. We're not going to get bogged down in the doctrine of it. We want to minister it as the living word. Amen? Your lessons that I printed out for you, we are including three versions in each scripture. We're including the King James Version, we're including the Amplified Version, and we're including the Message or the Peterson Version. So we're going to read all of those as we go forth into the study today. Starting at the King James, Colossians 1. Verse 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." This is speaking of Jesus. "That in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Now that's the big picture. All things were created by him that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Well, we covered that in our prior lessons, didn't we? The Amplified and the Message brought that out pretty clear. The Message especially says that those things that we see are known to us, material-wise, scientifically-wise, all of that, God created all of that. But also, those things we know nothing about. Those things that our five senses do not pick up on, there are things beyond our five senses that are in another dimension in God, unseen, invisible. Paul the Apostle said in one part of the scripture where he says, we no longer look at those things that are seen only, because now we have our eyes open to the fact that there are things invisible. So we don't look at those things that are seen, we look unto those things that are unseen. Because the things that are seen are temporal. This wood will eventually decay and pass away. You give it enough time. The sun will burn out. You give it enough time. This solar system will come to an end if you give it enough time, because it doesn't have an eternal existence. God has the eternal existence. Praise the Lord. He is from forever to forever. He has no beginning, he has no end. We already went over that. Praise God. Hard to comprehend in your natural mind, but that is what it is. He had no beginning, he has no end. So who else but that kind of a God could say, I'm going to create something out of myself, and when I create it, I'm going to watch over it, and I'm going to work with it, and I'm going to put certain things into operation with it, and by the time I'm through with it, it will be back into me. I'm going to lower it, and this is the key word when we're talking about things that have come out of God. When God creates something out of himself, he lowers it out of himself. It comes into a lower existence. That's what happened to mankind. Mankind was created by God in a lower dimension. He was made a living soul. He was mixture. He was part for God and part for himself. And it played out, and it is still playing out. God lowers mankind out of himself, but watches over that creation all through the ages. And then 2,000 years ago, God created an event in himself that was already written in himself from the beginning. And that's what Colossians is talking about, that it pleased the Father that in him, talking about Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. And that event 2,000 years ago is the verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. 2,000 years ago, a man called Jesus gave his life, but not just an ordinary life. He was the Son of God. And in him all the fullness of God dwelt. And he laid his life down so that you and I might have a life to pick us up out of our lowered state into the arisen state that Jesus Christ himself was a forerunner of, taking on the fashion and form of men like us in order to redeem us from that fashion and form that was a lowered form. Amen? Is everybody clear about that? The big picture. The big picture. Let's read what Amplified says. And it's just going to give some different wording to it that I like to hear. I'm going to start reading the 17th verse in the Amplified. And he himself, Jesus, existed before all things, and in him all things consist, cohere, are held together. Praise God. Someone said God is the space between your atoms. I don't know. But he does, he is that cohesiveness that keeps everything in order. In him, everything stays in order. Without his influence, the solar system would be in chaos. There would be no planetary orbits. There would be nothing. All of that got placed into order by the creative God, by the mighty God that compasses everything about with himself. So that's all wonderful to think of. But Amplified does say everything is cohered or held together by him. He also is the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. See the difference in there? The firstborn from the dead is what Colossians King James says. The Amplified lets us know it's not just from the dead, it's from among the dead. And that's significant. Jesus was not, I've got a ring here, I'm going to turn it down a little bit. Jesus was not just this other creature, otherly creature that came, that could not be tempted, could not suffer, could not do anything. He wasn't just this angel that came to earth and did his thing. Jesus took upon himself our same fashion and form, and he himself was tempted in like manner. Had to be. In order to deliver us from our temptations, Jesus had to experience everything we experience. Otherwise, he wouldn't qualify as saying, lean upon me because I have the victory over that. Well, he wouldn't have any victory, would he? He would just say, I don't know why you're behaving like you're behaving. I have no idea. I don't see what the problem is. Get with it. But he doesn't do that. He said that he's moved by us, by our infirmity. It moves him because he experienced what we experience every day. But he stayed above it. He overcame it. He was the pattern son. He was that which you would cut out like a board that you're going to make a whole bunch of other boards with the same piece and the same angle to it. You would make out a pattern of that, and then you would copy other boards from that pattern. If you're making if you're a seamstress and you're making something out of a pattern that they give to you to make a dress out of or a shirt or something, you make it out of that pattern. It's an exact copy of that pattern. That pattern might be mass produced for a bunch of seamstresses to make the same shirt. It's all going to look the same if it's made according to the pattern. Jesus is the pattern son for us. Amen. Praise God. And God is cutting us out, making us as he is, because the pattern has already come to earth. Hallelujah. And by him, I say, by him, the scripture says, that through his blood of his cross, he has reconciled all things. So getting back to the Amplified in the 18th verse. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. Amen. There is no other way to God, amen, period, amen, than Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only hope we have. Amen. Other religions have teachings that you could probably read and say, hey, you know, I can get something out of that. And that's all right. They might teach you to live good. They might teach you to think higher thoughts. They might teach you not to cuss, smoke, swear, beat up your wife, and fool around. But that's not what this is. This is Christ is the door for all creation. And I'm going to say something that might be a little too much right now, but I'm going to stretch you a little bit. Christ affects not just mankind. Everything that came out of God, things that we see and things that we do not see, are going to end up in a higher dimension because of Jesus Christ. That means this earth, that means the solar system, that means the atmosphere, that means the beast of the field, that means the mosquito, that means the lion, that means everything that came out of God, everything the scripture says, is going to be affected by that reconciliation through Jesus Christ. And we'll cover that at another time. So it says, for it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in him permanently, and God purposed that through or by the service, the intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely. Now it says, how many things? That's the important word for the big picture. How many things came out of God? All. Everything, all. How many things then must end back up into God? All. Everything, all. Now, I don't care what the theology is between those two points. If you have those two points established, you can't make God match up to our theology. Our theology has to match up to those two points. Amen? Yes. Everything came out, everything ends up back into him. But it's not in the same form and fashion that it came out in. It was lowered. Now there's a rising back into the Father. And that's the whole purpose of it, is that God, who is creative by nature, it's not something he thinks about. He is a creative person. God. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Any questions so far? Good. I'm going to get through the reading of these scriptures. All things should be completely reconciled back to himself. Now listen, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him the Father made peace by means of the blood of his cross. Now let's get to the message, which is just wonderful. I love the message and the way it pronounces things and the way it says things. It's everyday language. It says this in the 16th verse, Colossians 1:16, for the message. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him.
Amen.
He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment.
Amen.
Well, I like that.
Amen.
Does everybody remember what John 1:1 said from our other lesson, where I told you that this is not precisely speaking the Word of God? That this testifies of the Word? Remember John 1:1, in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why all of this is talking about Jesus. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the start, the end. He started it. He's big enough to end it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
You're going to be all right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're going to be all
right.
You're not going to end up lost. You're not going to end up corruptible. You're not going to end up wandering. He is big enough to watch over us, to visit us, to cause us to rise up to meet him in that place. Not leave us, as David said, not leave our soul in hell.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But to visit us in hell and to raise us out of hell and to put us in heavenly places, sit down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now you're already knowing something this morning that the vast majority of Christians do not understand. They still don't see the end. They still think that God's going to lose somehow. That God's going to have 90% in some of their narrow-minded doctrines. 90% of what came out of God is going to be lost, not for a million years, forever, with no hope. God birthed it and then aborted it. Do you see the difference? And do you see now why there's so many hypocrites in church? Do you see now why most people go to church not to hear the real big picture? They just want the preacher to tell them a self-help manual to get me through the day and then go home, not understanding the big picture. We're understanding the big picture. When it comes to the church, 18th verse, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He is the head of the church, which is more than the house of the Lord assembly. The church, the true church, is the literal body of Christ, the universal body of Christ everywhere.
Amen.
And like any other body, right now, some of its parts aren't working very well. Some of its parts are paralyzed. Some of its parts have no blood going to them. Some of its parts of his body is not significantly functioning right. But there is a part of his body that is. And that, like any other thing, is going to start to affect the rest of the body of Christ. It has to start somewhere, and it's starting in you and I and others that are starting to rise out of their religiosity into the reality of the great plan of God. And they're able to to leave all of the man-made in-between theology, and they're starting to get the big picture. I came out of God, I'm coming back into God. Am I anybody special? Am I different than anybody else? Was I born virgin or something or another? Why in the world am I able to see this and nobody else can? Am I the only one that's going to be able to see that? Or will Christ stay faithful over everyone else like he has me and reveal to them also the beginning and the end? Amen. And I believe that we aren't special, that we are like everyone else, that Christ has visited us, and if he visited us, he will visit others. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. The trick is, some of us had to hear this without a man teaching us. God had to revelate it with us. He had to do it through revelation, revealed knowledge. But Christ is going to use a people who have come to that, hallelujah, who have seen that process through, who have risen into the perfection of Christ, who have become as he is in the earth, hallelujah. If you have seen them, you have seen him. If you've heard them, you have heard him. That is the appearing of Christ in the saints, hallelujah. Yes. And that's what's going to convert the nations.
Yes. Right.
That's why we're being faithful on Mount Sinai Road, 4.5 miles outside of a little town called Dixon. And why we're driving the distance we're driving to get here, letting go of everything to get here, because we know that we must do this for the sake of creation. We must be changed. Oh, thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. So he is the head, and he organizes it and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end.
Amen. Amen.
The parade. One of the great classic illustrations was given in a meeting in Duncan, Arizona by J. Preston Eby. One of the greatest illustrations of the big picture. When Brother Eby got up and taught us, and he said, you know, if I was watching a parade going down a street, like on Main Street here in Dixon. And if I was in front of a store in a chair on the sidewalk watching this parade, I would only conceive in my conception what was in front of me. I'm ground level, and all I see is what's available to me right there. Amen? And that's all I would comprehend. But if I was to say, I want to see everything. I don't want to see just this one float, two floats. I want to see everything. I would get up out of my chair, I would go inside the store, and I would climb the stairs and get on the roof. And I would take my chair and sit on the roof. And on the roof, I not only see what was in front of me on the ground level, I would now see where it's coming from and where it's ending at. I would see everything at once. How many is hearing me today? Hallelujah. That's why we must climb the mountain of the Lord. We must get out of our limited knowledge of him. This is what the big picture does for us. From that point, if you know where the parade starts at and you know where it's ending, you can enjoy the rest. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You can start learning more about the rest, and you see it all at the same time. That's why I'm walking in peace today concerning creation. That's why I'm not out passing out tracts on Main Street. That's why I'm not going door to door and knocking on doors and getting people up and trying to let them know before they're lost forever and ever and ever. I'm in this church here ministering to you, who are the elite team that God is first going to appear in. The first fruits that Christ is going to appear in is you and I. Hallelujah. And once he does the work in us and others all across the world that are walking and starting to press the envelope and going behind the veil of our understanding and letting Christ appear in us, then out of that company, Christ appears to the entire world. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot more to say on this, but we're out of time. We'll cover it next week. But this is the big picture. Everything starts in God. Everything ends in God. And Christ, the supreme, preeminent one, the head of the church, which is his body, watches over the whole parade until the last last part of it finishes. Hallelujah. And then next week we'll find out where the true end of it all is in the scripture. And it's not the last verse in Revelation. Praise God. We'll see you next week. God bless.